Hey, I'm Sheena, former miserable corporate attorney turned full-time calligrapher and creative entrepreneur. I used to feel like I was living my life for other people, and now I am more true to myself than ever. And each week, I'm sharing a short but powerful lesson that I've learned on that journey. So if you're looking for a way to get more creativity and possibility into your life, you're so in the right place. Let's dive right in. Hey, hey, welcome back to the Sheena Show. So in today's episode, I'm talking about my failures because I know that you've heard from other people or heard it said before that failure is necessary to success, but we don't hear about them so often, right? So as much as successful people and entrepreneurs and creatives and artists say that failure is so important, I wanted to give you some actual concrete examples. So I'm going to tell you about failures in sort of three different buckets of my life, all after I quit law and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do and trying to build up my calligraphy business. So you might look at me now. I have a pretty successful business, over $1 million in revenue, and skip over the fact that it took a lot of failure to get here. The first failure that I want to tell you about is before I even found calligraphy, was after I quit law and was really kind of exploring creative things and thinking maybe I want to start a creative business of my own. So I did. I started a knitting business called Fuzzy Cloud Designs. Because, you know, cloud, fuzzy, you know, for knitted things. I called it Fuzzy Cloud Designs. I made up a little logo. I have knitted since I was maybe 12 years old. My grandma taught me. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to design some like cool scarves and things and photograph them and put them up on an Etsy shop. And I even got into some knitting patterns and, you know, put those up on Etsy. That business is no longer around. It actually didn't last for very long at all. I made barely any money off of it. I don't even know if I made enough money to cover the cost of all the yarn that I bought and all the Etsy fees and everything that I put into it. So you could categorize that business as a colossal failure. I spent a lot of time on it, didn't make any money, and it didn't last. So there's failure number one. Failure number two is in sort of a separate area of my life, still in the same time when I had quit law, didn't quite know what I was going to do next. I was going through my savings pretty quickly because, you know, I didn't have a job. So I decided to take a bridge job. I hear it often called bridge jobs because it's kind of getting you, bridging you from one thing to the next. And I found work at an interior design firm. And I thought, all right, this is cool. Interior design, it's a very creative field. I like interior design. I like, you know, decorating my room and, you know, kind of doing DIY stuff with IKEA. And maybe I'll learn a lot from, you know, this interior designer and, you know, being his assistant and working for him. I pretty much, at the end of the day, was an office manager / executive assistant. So I didn't actually learn too much about interior design at all. I got to sit in on some client meetings. It was a lovely place to work. Everybody was really nice, but I was basically refilling the office snacks and organizing photos and occasionally taking the boss's Maserati in to get serviced. So going from a high-paid, high-powered corporate lawyer working in a big, you know, glass office building with this degree to basically being a glorified executive assistant, you could see that as a total failure. So that is failure number two. And the final kind of bucket of failures that I want to tell you about are just sort of all these mistakes that I made when I first started Crooked Calligraphy, my calligraphy business. I started it in January 2016, really had no idea how I was going to make money and how I was going to make it into my full-time job. I just knew that I liked calligraphy and I liked doing calligraphy and designing things with calligraphy. And I had heard that, you know, people make livings as calligraphers. I'm sure I can figure it out. Maybe a lot of you are in this boat right now where it's just, I just want to do calligraphy and I just want to make money doing it. How can I do that? So I made so many mistakes and failures, had so many failures at the start of my calligraphy business. One was I started out with greeting cards and I invested hundreds of dollars getting all these greeting cards printed by a professional printer, a local printer. If you've ever worked with a professional printer before, most of them have minimums. So I had, you know, if you have like 10 card designs, you can't just print 20 of each card design and get that done by a professional printer. Most professional printer will require you to print hundreds, if not thousands. So this printer kind of worked with me, but still I ended up getting hundreds of each of my card designs printed, and I did not sell nearly all of those cards. So I paid hundreds of dollars and they just kind of ended up sitting in my closet. I even moved a couple times, you know, in the years afterwards, and I just would lug that box of cards around, and I ended up just dumping, you know, trashing a lot of them because I just couldn't sell them in the quantities that I had printed, especially the more unpopular designs. Another little kind of failure like that is I thought I wanted to create mugs, calligraphy mugs, you know, mugs with my calligraphy on them. I saw other people had mugs. They were so cute. I was like, I want to do that too. So I spent thousands of dollars getting mugs printed, and it was just a really bad experience. They kept sending chipped samples and the wrong printing and the wrong size. And at the end of the day, I ended up with just all these mugs that, again, I didn't sell. I ended up giving away most of them. One other just kind of failure early on in my business I wanted to tell you about is I not getting paid. Womp womp. So this was, again, thousands of dollars. This mistake, I took on a job, a kind of rush, last minute job, pretty huge. I was hired to write on these huge wooden signs and do like dozens of them and have it done in a very short time frame. It was a lot of physical labor. I had to touch up paint on a lot of them. And at the end of the day, the client refused to pay me. And I, like a dummy, had not gotten paid in advance. I didn't get a deposit. I didn't even have them sign a contract. And I'm a lawyer. So that was a pretty massive failure on my part, and I felt terrible about it for many weeks afterwards. So those are my three buckets of failures I wanted to tell you about, just to be honest with you and paint you a picture of, hey, I didn't get here just by succeeding all the time and doing everything right. I had to do a lot of things wrong. But I know this is like all about failure. It's starting to sound a little negative. So here's what I want to do next. I want to tell you how valuable those failures were to me. So I'm going to start with that knitting business that was a failure. And you'll notice how I am putting failure in quotes most of the time, air quotes. I don't love that word failure, but I guess there's no really other way to describe it. I'm putting it in air quotes because I now do not see them as failures. They could be seen as failures totally by the outside world. I even looked at them as failures in the past, and now I don't because I learned so much from them and they were an essential part of my journey. So that failed knitting business, I learned from that how to take better photographs of my products, how to list things on Etsy, how to research pricing, how to communicate with clients. I learned what I do not like to do, which is so, so valuable. And that's something that you can never know until you just try it, right? So I learned that I don't like knitting the same thing over and over again. So boring to me. So from that, I learned, okay, I have to set up a business where I'm not doing the same thing over and over again. I will tap out. I don't like that. Such an important lesson, right? On top of figuring out basically how to launch a business, that lesson was super, super important. And I took all of that with me into Crooked Calligraphy when I started my next business. Failure number two, taking that bridge job, right, with the interior designer. I also don't consider that a failure, even though I was making way less money than I did as a lawyer and kind of was doing a lot of assistant type stuff. I was able to see, okay, how does an interior design firm work? Whoa, there are people making money doing all sorts of things. And there are people out there willing to pay a lot of money for the things that they like. Because this was a like pretty high-end luxury interior designer and the clients were wealthy. So I just saw chairs being sold for $10,000 and realized, whoa, I mean, that seems outrageous to me, but it doesn't to the people who really value that. Those people must be out there. So I learned so much from working at that interior design firm that, again, I took with me when I started my calligraphy business. And then as for the failures in early on in my business, I totally don't see those as failures anymore either because, again, I took lessons out of them that made me a smarter business person. It made me stronger emotionally. I learned that I got to do my market research before I invest a lot of money into products. And hint, asking people, would you buy this on Instagram and getting people saying yes, that's not market research. Just because people will say yes in an Instagram comment doesn't mean they'll actually take out their hard-earned cash, right? And put it towards a product that you made. True market research you do by, you can, you know, pre-sell things so that people actually do put up cash and you can validate your product that way. There's lots of other ways you can do market research, but I definitely didn't do that before I went and printed out all my card designs and mugs that I was so in love with, but didn't necessarily translate to my customer. So that was a huge important lesson I learned from the experience of the client who didn't pay me. Oh boy, did I learn a lesson. Number one, always get paid in advance, at least part of the money, so that if a client skips out on you, you're not totally unpaid. Number two, always have a contract, even if it's a client that you've worked with before, that you like, that you seem, they seem trustworthy. People change when money is involved, so always get a contract and that will protect your back legally. And number three, and this is probably the most important lesson I learned from that, it seemed devastating at the time and I got through it. And I picked myself up and I told myself, all right, when it comes to business, not everybody is going to act in good faith. That's okay. It's just something that I've come to expect. And I put things in place so that I prevent getting stiffed in the future. And I don't expect everyone to be angels, right? And wonderful, nice human beings when it comes to business. And therefore, it doesn't disappoint me when it happens. I have a more realistic view of what it is like to do business. And I don't let it affect my view of the world. I hope sharing with you these like really concrete examples of failure, number one, gives you permission to just go out there and try some stuff. Because if you're anything like me, the temptation is so great to just sit here in a place of safety and think and analyze and plan so that you can try and avoid the failure. But you, trust me, will be sitting there thinking forever because it takes action in order to learn some of the lessons that you've got to learn. There's absolutely no other way. So that's what I mean when I say that failure is a vital part of success. There is no failure without success. Oh wait, nope. There is no success without failure. There can be failure without success, but that only happens if you give up too soon. That only happens if you look at that failure and say, oh, I'm not supposed to fail. This means I'm doing it wrong. This means I'm not cut out for it. This means I'm not worth the success. I better stop and cut my losses. That's the only time when failure does not lead to success, when you give up too soon. But success always comes with failure. It's kind of like you have to step on failure to get up there, and there's no way to shortcut it. So I hope that this helps to normalize failure, actually celebrate failure, because look back at the times in your life when you learned the most. I bet it wasn't when you were sitting comfortably on your couch watching Netflix, totally in your safe zone. I bet it was when something challenging or hard was happening and you got through it and you learned. So go out there, embrace failure. It is all part of that crooked creative path. I hope that me being honest with you and sharing some of mine normalizes it and helps you know that it's totally okay and to be expected and to be celebrated. Go out there and fail and then succeed. See you next week. Hey, if you're interested in learning calligraphy and you want to do it for free, I have a calligraphy workshop that I created just for you. I know how frustrating it is to buy the wrong tools, to not know how to use them, for everything coming out of your pen to look like nonsense. That's why I created this training. It's about an hour long. It shows you exactly what tools to buy, how to prep those tools, how to get started right, and how to continue practicing so that you actually get good at calligraphy. And bonus, it will tell you a little bit more about how to continue working with me if you want to learn calligraphy from me. So that's at freecalligraphyworkshop.com, all one word, freecalligraphyworkshop.com. Hope to see you inside. Oh, you're still here. That's awesome. That means that you like the show, right? Thank you for listening to the end. And I want to ask you a really quick favor. Could you take 2 seconds right now, literally right now, to just leave a rating on this podcast? And if you're feeling extra generous, write a 1-sentence review. It really helps more people like you to find this show. You are awesome. I'll see you next time.